Hello and welcome to this latest edition of the MPFT podcast. For this edition, we're going to chat with two of our awesome staff about the work that they have been doing to keep inpatients active during hospital stay to support with their recovery. Now, the fun and inventive approaches that they and others across the Trust have taken to support our patients has led to MPFT being one of just a handful of NHS trusts in the Midlands to receive the Recondition the Nation Platinum Award in recognition of this. So my name is Mark Fletcher from the Trust Communications team, and joining me are...
Hi, I'm Rebecca Nablett. I'm a senior occupational therapist and I work in older adult inpatient services at St George's Hospital in Stafford.
Hi, I'm Alishka Evans and I'm occupational therapy assistant and I work alongside Becky on the same ward.
Thank you very much for joining us both. I really appreciate your time today. I know how busy you are. So, Rebecca, I'll start with yourself if I may. The NHS describes prolonged periods of inactivity involving inpatients as so-called deconditioning. Could you start by explaining a bit more about why this can be so harmful for patients?
Yeah, so I think firstly, it's important to sort of recognise that deconditioning often for people starts at home. You know, as they become unwell at home, whether that's mentally or physically, they start to sort of slowly disengage with things, and that's when deconditioning starts. But it certainly can accelerate when they come into hospital and they come into inpatient services. Again, it very much depends on the person and the environment and the length of stay really as well. There's two main areas I'd say it impacts, and they can be significant if we don't sort of do things to combat it. So physically, lots can happen. People can become more reduced with their mobility. They can become less mobile, less able to sort of complete transfers on and off furniture. They can also lose muscle mass. I can't remember what the exact sort of figures are, but I think roughly they sort of say for one day in bed, it takes 3 days to recover what you may have lost from that one day in bed. Endurance can be impacted, constipation and other sort of physical health, blood pressure sort of related problems can occur from it. And then from a mental well-being point of view, it can cause further reduction in motivation, in people's mood. They can become more disconnected from social activities, social engagements. They can lose routine. They can also become less able to sort of tap into their thinking skills, and it can reduce cognition and their cognitive functioning. And also it can impact on where people go in the future, really, if it's not combated. So in a snapshot, that's sort of what deconditioning is about.
Yeah, that's obviously what you've described there does sound a serious issue, certainly for older patients. So Alishka, I'll just come to yourself, if I may. So the work that you, Becky and others within the Trust do to combat deconditioning is fittingly described as reconditioning. Could you sort of take on board what Becky just said there? What challenges have you faced working on an older adult's mental health ward, ensuring patients get the support they need to stay as independent as possible?
Okay, so one of the main challenges we have on the ward are around the false environment of the ward. So what we mean is, from physical aspects of the challenges, is that the ward obviously has flush flooring, it has optimum height seating and fluctuating noise levels. We do recognise that the ward needs to have semi-structure in order to be safe for the patients. However, that imposes limits on patients' ability to go about their day as they would at home. So, for example, they have limited control over the temperature of the room, the lighting, even things like what time to wake up and what time to eat. Another challenge is that people come to us acutely unwell. So to explain it a little bit more, the extent of demands at home is much greater than what they have in hospital, because the environment is semi-structured, as we described. So the decisions that patients face on the day are around making themselves a drink, making their bed, or what time to have a shower, or choosing the ward-based activities they would like to attend. However, at home, their daily demands, which promote maintenance of cognitive functioning, are much greater, and they will include things like managing of their finances, shopping, keeping themselves and their house safe. So the challenge is trying to provide the right amount of demands to maintain their cognitive functioning within the hospital environment. Some challenges can also be steering people away from patient role and encouraging them to engage in a recovery role.
Just back to yourself, Rebecca, if I may. So picking on board what Eliska's just said there, so the work that you, Eliska, and the team have done on the ward has played a big part in helping the Trust win that Recondition the Nation Award I mentioned earlier. Congratulations, by the way, for that. So what are some of the creative ways that you've helped to make a difference to patients, and how do you go about determining which approaches would work best?
I think when it comes to approaches, one of the key things to mention here is that on the ward, we use what we call an occupational therapy model, and that's known as the VDT mocker. So for those that don't sort of know about models, it's basically a way of working, and it gives you sort of a loose framework to follow. And that model is very much embedded within our service and the occupational therapy service. And what that model does is it enables us to identify and assess the individual's level of functioning. And once we've identified their level of functioning, and when I refer to that, once we've assessed them, we can identify, usually within hospital, they fall into 1 to 4 sort of levels of functioning. The levels of functioning do go beyond that, but they don't tend to be the levels we see in hospital, and people can move through them. So they may come to us at a lower level of functioning, and then after we've done the interventions, they sort of recover back to their higher level of functioning. So once somebody's assessed, that model enables us to use a sort of broadly set approaches, and they also enable us to adapt the activity duration, the activity demand, so that we can set the activity to a just right level for that individual person. And our activity programme on the ward is very much informed by that model as well. So we run around 4 to 6 activities a day, and they focus on supporting people to maintain their basic sort of skills within different areas. So the activities will cover physical, fine motor, praxis and balance, social skills, therapeutic skills, and also personal management, because those are really key to, those are the key things really in trying to combat deconditioning and reduce the impact of it. And then I'd say the other key approaches are trying where possible to instill individual routine for people. Routine is key really for all of us in daily life and keeping us happy and motivated and physically well. And it like we were sort of saying earlier, that there's a significant imbalance for people when it comes to the demands at home versus the demands in hospital, because of the way that the hospital environment has to be in order to keep everybody safe. So it helps to balance that significant difference out, so that we've got more of an even scale when it comes to the demands of the two different environments, because we know that that can be detrimental. And then also a graded approach. So often a lot of people that come to us, you know, they can be experiencing a wide range of mental health difficulties. It's really important that the interventions are graded to meet their specific level of functioning, and again, get it to be a just right challenge for them that can then grow as they start to recover. And it also really optimises the potential of a person engaging in recovery, really. So I'd say for us, those are the key approaches that we use.
Thanks, Becky. Eliska, come back to yourself now, if that's all right. So picking on board what Becky's just said, could you talk about any examples of the difference that this has made to patient, and how you're applying in the learning that you've made to continue to improve the service that you provide?
Okay, so for example, we've had a patient recently where we knew from assessing that VDT mocker level that we've just mentioned that he wasn't able to come and make his own lunch like the other patients do. And that was due to his him experiencing anxiety and low mood. So we adapted the environment by closing the shutter to the kitchen and to the door. And we sort of supported him with just being there. And we asked him to tell us what he would like on his sandwich and make a choice. And then we would make the sandwich for him. Then we slowly increased the social and the task demand over a period of time. So each time he attended the lunch group, the task was a little bit different. And the end result was that for the remainder of his admission, he was then able to attend the lunch without any prompts. He was able to make his own lunch without any support. And he was able to sit down with others and enjoy his lunch. Another example was when we supported a patient who was admitted to us with, again, low mood and anxiety, that was significantly impacting their motivation. So the patient was supported to engage in ward activities to improve their well-being. And towards the end of admission, it was evident that the person was very anxious about actually returning home and re-engaging in home demands. They just felt that they couldn't face it. And that's where we use this collated approach to support the person to re-engage in those demands. So just to give you a little example how that worked, we organised the first visit home. It was only a short visit with one member of staff, but the patient was able to come home, experience what it's like to be at home after a long admission, maybe make themselves a cup of tea and just check the post, and then we returned to the ward. Then a second visit was organised where we shopped for chosen items in the patient's local shop, which was very important to mimic the routine from when they live at home. And then again, we returned to the ward. The third visit was when we attended their home and the patient cooked their own meal in the presence of staff. And then again, we returned to the ward. And the last part of the intervention was that it was organised for the patient to actually go home unescorted on their own, have a period of time at home, cook their lunch, and then return to the ward. And at the end of these interventions, the patient reported that they had felt reduced anxiety, and actually they were initiating management and planning of their daily activities. And they even commenced engagement in their local community groups. So the lady started visiting her church group like she did prior to admission. So these are really the two really good examples of how it looks on the ward.
That's brilliant. You must be sort of both of you sort of really, really happy, I imagine, with the fact that the Trust has won the Recondition the Nation Platinum Award. It's in recognition of the work that you both and others do within the Trust. I mean, just a final question to you both, really. So what does that mean to you guys in terms of that sort of recognition, a national recognition that you've received for the work that you've been doing? Becky, do you want to just say a quick word about that?
I'd say for me personally, the best bit about that is that it shares a practice some other trusts and organisations don't do quite like we do, but it's also enabled us to learn from others as well. And I think the loveliest thing that comes out of it is that it's recognition for older adults and how we can all work together and implement new ways of working and others' current way of working to better help combat deconditioning for people. I think sometimes older adults, I feel, is an area that isn't sort of talked about as much. So I think the recognition for older adult services and older adults patients and what they can experience and need is a wonderful thing to come out of it. So really, really pleased.
I totally agree with Becky. I think it really highlights the role of multidisciplinary working. So all the teams, nurses, management, occupational therapists, consultants, all working together on the ward. And with it being sort of highlighted to general public, it also helps with breaking stigma around mental health. And I think it helps people to understand what it might look like when people get admitted to older adults inpatient mental health wards.
It's well said, that. And we'll leave it there then. So that's it for this episode. You can subscribe and listen to previous episodes by searching for the MPFT podcast by the usual platform. So it just leaves it for me to say a big thank you to my guests, Rebecca Noblett and Alicia Evans, and to thank you also for listening. Thank you, and bye-bye.